राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे जय गौरानिताय 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 जय गौरानिताय जय Jai Sri Gopal, Sri Gopal, Sri Gopal, Jai Sri Gopal. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Jai Prabhupada. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaur Hari Bol.
Jai Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Stotra Shri Srimadhi Srivayan Grace Avaicharan Arvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Stotra Shri Srimadhi Srivayan Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki, Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Jai Prem Sikho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Jai Samvaita Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So welcome all the devotees for the Sunday feast class today after the Radhashtami festival. And in spite of such a incessant rains, all of you are here. So I want to congratulate and thank all of you for being here for the Sunday feast program. Just day before yesterday, we celebrated the Radhashtami festival. I guess all of you were there. How many of you came for the Radhashtami festival? Okay, most of you came for the Radhashtami festival also. Long back, in one of the Srimad Bhagavatam classes here at the temple, one of the very senior devotees, His Grace Bhagavan Prabhu, he was mentioning that one of the names of Srimati Radharani is Vidyarthini. Srimati Radharani's one of the names is Vidyarthini. Why Vidyarthini? Because she is always eager to know. Eager to learn more, eager to improve on her abilities, improve on her skills, and improve on her ways to serve Krishna in newer and newer ways. So someone may say ki Srimati Radharani is actually the Haladini Shakti of the Lord. So why is it that she also needs to upgrade? When do we upgrade? When the previous things becomes obsolete, when it becomes old and is no longer fit to be used. But here is Srimati Radharani, she is the personal energy of the Lord, but still she is constantly improving, constantly learning. Why is that? Because it is explained that Krishna's name is Nitya Navayamanam. Krishna is always improving, Krishna is never the same. Because Krishna is always renewing, Krishna is always improving, therefore, Srimati Radharani is also always upgrading and coming up with newer and newer ways to serve Krishna. And therefore, if Srimati Radharani is always, improving, always upgrading herself, none of us can actually claim that we are the best. No. There is a need for each of us also to keep improving in our, ways that we serve Krishna. And that is the reason why we come here to the temple, or those of us who live at the temple, that is one of the reasons, so that we can learn more from the scriptures, from the acharyas, from Srila Prabhupada, from the senior devotees. That is one of the purposes of coming here, so that we learn more and more how to serve Krishna in better and better ways. And for that, For that purpose, we also have so many festivals all around the year. And festivals give us that opportunity to actually dive deep and learn about Krishna and evaluate that where are we in our standard of serving Krishna. And therefore, you know, these festivals, it is said that opportunities, they are like sunrise. Any of you have been to some scenic place to watch a sunrise? Anyone has? Watch sunrise dekhne kabhi koi gaye hai? Kahin pe? So sunrise, if you have seen, it is a very momentary thing. You are waiting, still dark. And then all of a sudden, the sun comes up. And then it's over. The sunrise moment is gone. So many times, opportunities, they are also compared to sunrises. If you lose the opportunity, it is gone. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada has introduced so many festivals all around the year to give us that opportunity to know about Krishna, to learn about Krishna, and to improve, constantly improve in our ability, our skills to serve the Supreme Lord. And this is what makes Krishna happy. When Krishna sees his devotees, you know, struggling to improve, struggling to grow in their lives, just like when parents, they see their kids, you know, when the kids, sometimes in our temple we see the kids, they are like, you know, infants, they try to, you know, just rise up. So with great struggle they will rise up, and then, you know, all of a sudden they'll again, you know, come down. But when the parents see that the child is really now able to not just stand up, but also able to run. And sometimes we see these small kids, they come into the temple, they'll walk all the way. I mean, the parents take some time to climb up the stairs. But the kids will run all the way from the stairs, you know, dash, do their dandavat before Srila Prabhupada. And in the next moment they'll get up, and with, you know, amazing speed, they will run from Srila Prabhupada till the altar. They'll run all the way from here, do some very fast, you know, this. And then in another moment, they'll run back to where the laddu is being distributed and, you know, asking for laddu. Now, this momentary thing might be very, you know, amazing for the kids, but it gives the parents great joy seeing their kids, you know, growing up. Similarly, Krishna, when Krishna sees his devotees endeavoring and struggling to learn more and to improve in their ways of becoming more strong in their Krishna consciousness, that gives a lot of pleasure to Krishna. And just like I mentioned, that these festivals also present us with this opportunity, especially in the last 1 month we have been having so many festivals. It began with the Jhulan Yatra, 5 days of Jhulan Yatra, culminating with Balaram Jayanti, and then followed by Krishna Janmashtami, and then Radhashtami, and then, you know, Lord Vamandev's appearance day. So many such festivals. And therefore these festivals are like sale. So whenever there is a sale, mercy is being distributed. And whenever there is a sale, people line up because they know that things are very easily available. So today I just thought of discussing and encashing on one of these opportunities before the sale is over. So the sale is going to end just in a few days with the festive season, this festive season being over now. Again, the Govardhan Puja will start after a couple of months. So day after tomorrow happens to be the appearance day of Lord Vamanadeva. And I just thought of discussing some lessons from the life of Bali Maharaj. How Bali Maharaj, he surrendered to Vamanadeva. And there are these nice lessons from these episodes of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord mentions in the Gita, Ajanma karma chame divyam, evam yoveti tatvatah, tektva deham punarjanma naiti mameti swarjuna. That the nature of my appearance and my pastimes is transcendental. It is divine in nature. It is not like the appearance and the activities that we do on a daily basis. The Supreme Lord, whatever the Supreme Lord does, there is something for us to learn from each of his activities. And therefore here, and Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with episodes. Srimad Bhagavatam is especially a rich collection of how the Supreme Lord interacts with his devotees. And by means of that interaction, he teaches us so many lessons. So here is one of the great devotees of the Lord, Bali Maharaj, and the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes that how Bali Maharaj, there is always this Devasur Sangram that keeps happening, and at one point of time, Bali Maharaj is utterly defeated by the demigods, and like he's like almost gone. And then Shukracharya, he comes to his rescue, and Shukracharya actually saves the life of Bali Maharaj. And because the life of Bali Maharaj is saved by Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj is very grateful to him, is very obliged to him, and Bali Maharaj accepts him as his spiritual master. Now this is very surprising. Just because someone saved one's physical life, he is being accepted as one's spiritual master. And now when Shukracharya gets this position of Bali Maharaj's spiritual master, all of them, they advise Bali Maharaj to perform something known as the Vishwajita Yajna. Shukracharya, he proposes to Bali Maharaj that you should perform this Vishwajita Yajna. What is this Vishwajita Yajna? So that by performing this Yajna, you will attain supremacy all over the world, over all the kings in this world. And what is the purpose of Shukracharya proposing, giving this proposal to Bali Maharaj? Is that once Bali Maharaj becomes the top person in the whole world, he will be the person who will be guiding and advocating and, you know, helping Bali Maharaj. So he will be even above Bali Maharaj in one sense. So that is the purpose why Shukracharya is advising Bali Maharaj to go ahead with this Vishwajita Yajna. And sure enough, Bali Maharaj does this very complex Yajna, and it's a great success. And because of this Vishwajita Yajna, there is this golden chariot and so many bows and arrows and, you know, soldiers and everything come out of the Yajna Kund. And Bali Maharaj, who has been defeated by the demigods, he gets seated on his chariot and he advances towards Amaravati. Amaravati, not the capital of Andhra Pradesh. He advances towards the capital of Indraloka, Amaravati. And when Bali Maharaj is moving with his entourage, you know, nicely all decked up, you know, with this golden chariot and so much of opulences and everything, Indra sees him coming. And Indra is like completely awestruck. He's terrified. We just defeated him yesterday. Just some time back, we utterly defeated him. And how come now he's like, you know, he's come with all of these opulences and he's like, coming back with so much of grandeur and opulence now. So Indra is very much surprised. And in his confusion, in his surprise, he approaches his guru, Brihaspati. And Brihaspati, he asks Brihaspati that what is the cause of this strength that Bali Maharaj is coming up with? How is that Bali Maharaj is displaying so much of strength, so much of influence, and is like about to claim victory, it is seen. How is it that he has become so enthusiastic? And then Brihaspati, he tells Indra what is the reason. So Indra is afraid seeing the prowess of Bali Maharaj, and he approaches Brihaspati, and Brihaspati gives the reason behind Bali's renewed opulence. And he says, Janami Maghavan Shatror Unnate Rasya Karanam Sishya Upahabritam Tejo Bhrigubhir Brahmavadibhi. He mentions, Janami Maghavan Shatro. Indra is Maghavan. So, O Maghavan, I know the reason for Bali Maharaj's renewed opulence. I know why Bali Maharaj is now, you know, come up with such great strength. Janami Maghavan Shatror Unnater Asya Karanam. Shatru ke Unnati ka Karan Mujhe Malum hai. You may not know. You may be confused. You may be utterly, you know, bewildered. How is Bali Maharaj coming up with in such an opulent setting? But I know the cause. And what is the cause? I'll tell you. Shishya upahvritam tejo bhrigubhir brahmavadi bhi. Because Bali has been blessed by the descendants of Bhrigu, namely Shukracharya and the other Brahmanas. So ordinarily, Bali Maharaj and his forces could not have achieved such strength. But it appears that the Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu Muni, being pleased with Bali Maharaj, have endowed them with this spiritual power. In other words, Brihaspati is trying to communicate to Indra that what you are seeing, the opulence of Bali Maharaj, is not actually his opulence. These are the opulence that have been bestowed upon Bali by his exalted guru, Shukracharya. And that is the first lesson I wanted to touch upon today, that how the blessings of great souls is actually the secret to success in Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he writes, he quotes this verse, Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya aprasadat na gati kuto api. That when one pleases or when one serves great souls, that is when the mercy of the Supreme Lord descends upon him. And Srila Prabhupada writes that by the pleasure of the spiritual master, one can get extraordinary power, especially in spiritual advancement. So Brihaspati is mentioning here that because of this mercy that Bali has been endowed with, it is not possible either for you or for any of your men to defeat him, because he has been blessed by the mercy of these great souls. And now only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can actually defeat him. And therefore, and because he is equipped with the supreme spiritual power, Brahma Tejas, no one can stand before him. Just as no one can stand before Yamaraj, similarly, at this point of time, no one will be able to stand before Bali Maharaj. And our acharya is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He mentions something very interesting here. He says that Bali Maharaj, he was actually blessed by the Brahmanas. Bali Maharaj actually served the Brahmanas out of a lot of devotion and faith after the Vishwajita Yajna. And the Brahmanas, in exchange for all the reciprocation that Bali had done, the Brahmanas, they actually give their own powers to Bali. And Brihaspati here also hints to Indra that do not think that we are less powerful than those Brahmanas. Because of the mercy of those Brahmanas, Bali has come up with such opulence. And therefore, don't think we are also very powerful. If we also become pleased with your devotion and with your service, we will also bestow you with, you know, extreme power by which you will be able to defeat him. But because Indra, he is in a very different setting, he fails to get the hint. And in the Bhagavad Gita mentions how anyone who is overly surrounded by opulence and sense gratification, bhoga aishwarya prasakta nam, overly attached, taya apahrita chetasam, uski chetana jo hai, kam ho jati hai. Taya apahrita chetasam, his consciousness is lowered down. Vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhav na vidhiyate. That such a person is unable to think with a single point determination. So similarly here, Indra is being advised, he is being given the hint, how you can actually defeat Bali, who is appearing to be so powerful. But because Indra is overly attached, of course, all, you know, he is also a very exalted personality, but we are just discussing to analyze this particular pastime. And because Indradev, he is surrounded by so much of opulence and he is attached to so much of sense gratification, that he fails to get this samadhavna vidhiyate, what is being advised by Brihaspati. And Srila Prabhupada, he writes a very wonderful sentence in this particular purport. He says that the blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavor for such advancement. Especially for spiritual advancement, one should carry out the bona fide order of the spiritual master. And this mercy of the spiritual master, this mercy of the great souls, is actually the cause for the success and opulence of a success and prosperity for a disciple. One time in Ramayana, when Jambavan and all the Jambavan actually tells to Hanumanji that Hanuman, you have forgotten your powers. You can actually do it. Jambavan gives this motivational talk to Hanumanji, and Hanumanji remembers, yes, I can do it. And Hanumanji, he gets up and he starts shouting. He starts shouting, yes, I can do it. I can jump the ocean. I can, really go to Lanka and I will find Mother Sita and everything. And someone may say that, how is it that Hanumanji, he says that, I am the servant of Lord Ramachandra, Dasoham Kaushalendrasya. So how can a servant say that, I can do it. I will be able to do it. And then Hanumanji, he clarifies that just like a bow has no power of its own. But when a bow is powered by, doesn't have any power of its own. But when the arrow is powered by a bow, right, the arrow gets the strength that is supplied by the bow. And that is how the arrow can actually go far distances. So similarly, he says that Lord Ramachandra is actually that bow. And without his mercy, without his powers, I am no one. But because I am connected with Lord Ramachandra, and therefore because of his powers, I will definitely be able to do it. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, there is this episode that how when Krishna and Sudama, they are studying in the ashram of Sandipani Muni. And after that huge rainfall that happens and waters have come up. And the next day, Krishna and Sudama, they come together. They have been together all night, waiting for the rains to subside. And the next day when Krishna Sudama comes, Sandipani Muni is so happy with their togetherness and with their service attitude. And being pleased with their service attitude, Sandipani Muni, he blesses Krishna and Sudama that I bless you both, that whatever I have taught you, whatever you have learned all these years, you will be able to remember in this life and the next. So that is how Sandipani Muni also blesses Krishna and Sudama. In one of the pastimes of His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one time a devotee asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that, Maharaj, you are a Goshthanandi, you are a, ardent preacher, but your spiritual master, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he is a Bhajanandi. Doesn't look like, he is a lot into, preaching and everything. So how is it that, you say that you are getting all your powers and everything? So actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was having this discussion on a boat. They were crossing maybe the river Ganga or whatever. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he mentioned to that, person, he said that just like you look at this engine, there was this engine of the boat, which was making a lot of noise, and throwing all the smoke and everything. He said, just like this engine is there, the engine is making a lot of noise, but the engine is being powered by a battery that is seated somewhere deep inside the boat. Without being powered by the battery, this engine can't function. And therefore, I may be like this engine who is like making a lot of noise all over. But my spiritual master is that powerful battery because of which I am able to do whatever I am able to, do. So that is what Shishya Upahabritam Tejo. When the spiritual master bestows his Tejo upon the Shishya, that is how the Shishya actually becomes successful. And going ahead, Brihaspati, he advises Indra that now there is no use fighting. Unnecessarily you will lose whatever you are been left with. Better pack up and leave. Just like when there is some dire natural situation, some flood is about to come. Hurricane Dorian is about to attack, and the government knows we can't do anything about it. And they give this warning, please pack up and leave. So Indra, along with all the other demigods and whatever they can carry along, they just pack up everything and they are forced to leave from that place. And to pacify Indra, Brihaspati says that don't worry. In the future, this same Bali will actually offend his own spiritual master. And because of that offense, he will lose all his powers, and that is when you can obtain your dominion over him. And he says, Esha vipra balo darkah samprati urjita vikramah tesham evanupamena evapamanena sanubandho vinankshati. Offense to a great soul, just like the blessing of a great soul is the cause of the success for a disciple, similarly, offense to a great soul will be the cause of, becomes a cause of one's degradation in spiritual life. There is this example of Karna, that how when Karna, he approaches Parshuram, and he wants to learn all this military arts and everything from Parshuram, and Parshuram says that you have to be a Kshatriya you have to be a Brahmana to be able to learn all these things. So Karna at that point of time, he lies. He says that, yes, I'm a Brahmana, teach me everything. So Parshuram, he teaches all the sciences and educates Karna in all the military arts. And then at one point of time, when Karna is, when Parshuram is taking rest on Karna's lap, that is when there is this scorpion who comes and bites Karna. And because Parshuram is there, he can't, ask him to leave. He just tolerates the bite of the scorpion. And when Parshuram, he gets up, he says there is this whole blood all around. And he says that you cannot be a Brahmana. You cannot be a Brahmana, because for a Brahmana it is very difficult to tolerate. You must be a Kshatriya, because only a Kshatriya can tolerate physical pain. And because you have lied to me, I curse you, that you will lose all the knowledge that I have imparted to you when you will need it the most. So on one hand was Krishna and Sudama, who was blessed by Sandipani Muni, who was pleased by Krishna and Sudama, that you will be remembering and you will be able to use all the knowledge that you have been given. And here is Karna, who is cursed by Parshuram, and because of which you lose all the knowledge when it's time for you to actually use this knowledge. And the Srimad Bhagavatam also takes us into a flashback that why actually Indra lost all his opulence in the first place. Why was he defeated by Bali Maharaj? Because Indra, it is mentioned that one time Indra was walking on his Airavat, and there was Durvasa Muni, he comes. And Durvasa Muni, he sees Indra and he is very pleased with Indra, and he gives his own garland to Indra. And Indra, he takes that garland and he just gives it to Airavat. Now, an elephant doesn't understand the importance of a Mahagarland. Right? Airavat just puts that garland down and he crushes that garland and moves ahead. Seeing this, Durvasa is very much, angry. Durvasa Muni is angry and he curses Indra that very soon you will lose all your opulences that you have achieved by defeating Bali. And that is how here is Bali Maharaj coming on to defeat Indra. So that is how the demigods, seeing the power of Bali Maharaj, they flee the heavenly kingdoms and are bereft of all the opulence, and they start wandering like fugitives. They are looking for a shelter to hide, because Bali has gained dominion over the entire planet. And seeing the condition of the demigods, the mother of the demigods, Aditi, she is very much aggrieved. She is very much aggrieved to see the condition of her sons, and she appeals to her husband, Kashyap Muni, that I am unable to see this plea of the demigods. No, please, you will have to do something about it. Now, what was the problem of Aditi? The problem of Aditi was that she was so attached to her sons, and because her sons were bereft of opulence, beauty, fame, and residence. Now, all of these things are apparently material things, right? Opulences, beauty, fame, and residence. But then Aditi is approaching Kashyap Muni to solve these problems for her. And The solution that Kashyapa Muni gives, that is also very interesting. Typically for material problems, there are material solutions. But Kashyapa Muni, he advises him. Kashyapa Muni, he mentions, Upatishthasva Purusham Bhogavantam Janardhanam Sarvabhuta Guhavasam Vasudevam Jagadgurum. That when Aditi, weeping out of affection for her sons, she approaches Kashyap Muni. Kashyap Muni gives a simple solution. Please worship the Supreme Lord. He will put everything all right. And brilliant purport is given by Sri Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur here. And he mentions that, he gives the meaning of the word Purusham here in this verse. He mentions that Purusham, he is the Supreme Purusha. That Supreme Lord is actually your husband. I am just a material husband. I am just the conventional husband. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes that you are approaching me to solve all these difficulties, but I may not be able to do so much because I am just the conventional husband. Better approach the Supreme Purusha. So that is how he mentions this word Purusham. He alone knows the method of auspiciousness for your sons. And he is also Janardana. He is Janardana because he will beg from his own devotee, Bali. Bali is his devotee, but he will not hesitate to beg from Bali for the sake of your sons. And he is Sarva Bhuta Guhavasam. He will inspire Bali from within his heart. Sarva Bhuta Guhavasam. Guha is the most confidential place. That is the heart. And because he is living in the heart of all the living entities, he will inspire Bali Maharaj from within his heart. And he is also Vasudev. He will appear in you when you are purified. And he is also Jagadguru. He will give benefit not only to you, he will benefit you, he will benefit me, he will benefit your sons, the demigods. He will benefit Bali Maharaj and he will benefit the entire world by allowing the Ganges to descend in this world. So that is how he is Jagat Guru. And he mentions this, Savidhasyati te kaman harir dinanu kampanah amogha bhagavat bhaktir netareti matir mama. The Supreme Personality of Godhead will certainly fulfill your desire as he is very merciful, he is infallible, and any other solution here is useless. So we may feel, you know, little perplexed that how come Kashyap Muni is giving something, a one-point formula for all the problems that you may have. But that is the lesson that Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us, that how by connecting to Krishna is often the keys even to many material problems. So sometimes you may think that it is not good to approach Krishna if I am, you know, really stooped in material problems. Mere jeevan mein bahut samasyaen hain. No, I can't go before the Supreme Lord to clarify my, you know, to ask of these material, these things. And many times people try to postpone approaching Krishna, thinking that let me first solve my material problems, then I'll approach Krishna. Let me first have this, ek bar ye ho jata hai, once this is in place, then definitely I'll approach Krishna. And someone may feel that I am into this particular situation. You know, this particular situation, how can I ask the Supreme Lord to, you know, rectify this situation? And someone may feel that even I within myself, I may have so many bad habits. I am not so purified. And therefore, because I am so, you know, unclean from within, how can I approach Krishna like that? Just like in our book distribution marathon, previously when we used to have permission, we used to distribute books on the railway platforms. So many times when you show the books to people, people will hear and they will hear all the announcements and they will see, but they won't touch the book. Aake chhuenge nahi. Nahi, nahi, nahi. I won't touch the book. Why? Nahi, nahi, wo kya na, sab hum... We don't eat all, we eat all kind of non-veg and everything. Isliye chhu nahi sakte. So people feel that, you know, unless and until I get completely purified, how can I approach Krishna like that? But the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam mentions, the second canto, Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udaradhi, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. That whether one is akamah, one is freed of all material desires, one has no material desires, completely purified. Akamah sarva kamova, whether one is filled with desires that are material in nature. Sarva kamova, all kinds of material desires are present in, you know, ample quantity within the heart. Akama sarva kamova or moksha kama udaradhi. Whether one is wanting to get rid of all these material world and achieve liberation. Akama sarva kamova, moksha kama udaradhi, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. Now such a person, only one who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead in loving devotional service can be considered to be truly intelligent, udaradhi. And that is the broad-minded, accommodative nature of the Vedic scriptures. The Vedic scriptures are not meant just for the purified people. Krishna is not meant just for the, you know, the Hare Krishnas. Ki nahi, ye Krishna, ye Hare Krishna walon ka mandir hai. Isliye hum jaye ya na jaye, you know, should I also go there? Nahi, ye to in logon ka mandir hai. No. That is what the Vedic scriptures teach us, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is welcoming each and every person. No matter where we are, no matter what kind of habits we have, no matter what kind of a problem, what kind of a situation we may be in, Krishna is there to welcome each of us. And in the Gita, Krishna mentions that how these four types of people, they approach him. Here we see the category of, he mentions those four categories, Artho, Artharthi, Jigyasur and Jnani. Artho is the distressed category, you know, who are like completely, here, Aditi, she is completely distressed. She is feeling, she is unable to bear the situation and tolerate the situation of her sons. And because of being distressed, she is being asked to approach the Supreme Lord. Similarly, Dhruva was Artharthi. He wanted something material. He wanted a planet which was greater than that of his own father. And that is how even Dhruva was advised by Suniti to go and look out for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada, he writes that if one takes to Krishna's devotional service but still has material desires to fulfill, he may become free from all material desires. But this may take some time. Just like Dhruva, he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead with material desires. And eventually he became freed of his material desires. But however, Krishna is Swarat. He may also directly give his devotee unalloyed devotional service and take away all his material desires and possessions. In the Chaitanya Charitamrit, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he speaks this beautiful verse. Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage vishay suk, amrit chhadi vishay mage ei bado murk. Ami vigyay murkhe vishay kene diba, swacharna amrit diya vishay bhulaiba. Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage vishay suk. You know, look at this devotee. He is worshipping me, but he is wanting all the happiness of the material world. This kind of contrary. Krishna kahe ama bhaje, he's worshipping me on one hand. On the other hand, he's wanting so many material things. Mange vishaya sukh, the happiness out of the material sense objects. Amrit chhadi vishaya mange ei bado murk. That he is leaving the nectar that is available in my association, in my service, in the company of my devotees. Such a person doesn't want that nectar of association, the nectar of my mercy. He is wanting vishaya, the sense objects. And Krishna says, such a person is bado murk. He is a top class fool. He is a top class fool. But Krishna says, ami vigya ei murkhe vishaya kene diba. He may be a fool, but I am intelligent. Because I know what is best for him. He is a fool, but I am intelligent. And therefore, why will I give him this all these sense objects? Swacharnamrita diya vishaya bhulaiba. I will actually give him the mercy of my Charanamrita, the opportunity to render service unto my lotus feet. I will engage him in my service and I will make him forget all these material aspirations that he may be having. And Srila Prabhupada writes beautifully that whenever one is perplexed, let him take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let him take shelter of the lotus feet of Vasudeva, Krishna, who will give the devotee intelligence to help him surpass all difficulties and return home back to Godhead. Kashyapa Muni advised his wife to seek shelter at the lotus feet of Vasudeva Krishna so that all her problems would be very easily solved. Thus, Kashyapa Muni was an ideal spiritual master. Now, there is a bit of a catch here that when we talk about approaching Krishna for all, you know, even in one is in one material problem, the asterisk here is that Krishna actually gives the intelligence. Krishna, we may expect ki if I approach Krishna, everything will be set right. Krishna is not going to come and, you know, personally help set everything right now. Krishna actually gives the intelligence by which one is able to solve and navigate through his material difficulties. He mentions in the Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. That one who worships me with love and devotion, tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam, one who worships me with, you know, lot of love within his heart, dadami buddhi yogam tam, I give him the intelligence by which he can come to me. So that is how Kashyapa Muni, he further describes to Aditi how to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he mentions the 12-day Payovrata sacrifice, that how by performing this particular Payovrata ritual, the Supreme Lord will be very pleased. And it is mentioned that Kashyapa Muni doesn't just say that because you have approached me with a problem, I will take care of everything. And that is what the Bhagavatam also highlights here, that success in one's endeavor is not the sole responsibility of the spiritual master or the great soul. We learned from the previous lesson that, you know, success in Krishna consciousness is dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. But that success is not the sole responsibility of the spiritual master. Just by approaching the spiritual master, one is unable to, one won't be achieving success in his spiritual life. What is required is actually following the order of the spiritual master. And therefore, Aditi, she exemplifies the qualities of an ideal disciple. She surrenders to his opinion, first of all. She doesn't question Kashyapa Muni. You are mentioning this to me, but will this work? Just like once again in Ramayana, when Lord Ramachandra, he goes with Vishwamitra Muni. And Vishwamitra Muni, they go to the palace of Janaka Maharaj, and there is this bow of Lord Shiva that is lying there. And Vishwamitra Muni, he says to Lord Ramchandra, Vatsya Ram Dhanur Pashya. O Ram, please go and have a look at the Dhanusha. So there it is described that there are these three levels of disciples. The first category, the lowest category of disciple is one who questions the order of the spiritual master. You are asking me to, you know, go and have a look. You know, why me? Why should I go and have a look? What if I am not able to lift it? That will be such a big mockery in this huge assembly. So maybe are you planning to, you know, kind of defame me or something? So why is it that you are asking? Why me only? Lakshman is also there. Why are you not asking him to go and, you know, look? So it is the first category of disciple who questions the spiritual master. The second category of the disciple is one who just does whatever is told. Vatsya Ram Dhanur Pashya. So Ram goes, looks at the Dhanush and comes back. Done. I went, Vatsya Ram, I went and had a look at the Dhanush. That is the second category. So whatever is being told, just do the basic minimum and then come back. But the highest quality, the first class disciple, is one who understands the intent of the spiritual master. So Lord Ramachandra, he understands that Vishwamitra is not just wanting me to go there and have a look at the Dhanush. Just to pasya, just to see the Dhanush. He actually wants me to lift it, string it and break it. So the disciple who understands the heart of the spiritual master, the intent of the spiritual master, is the first category of disciple. And here Aditi, she is also exemplifying the qualities of an ideal disciple. She doesn't question Kashyap Muni. And she makes this humble inquiry about the details of how she can actually execute this Payovrata sacrifice. And the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a whole chapter dedicated to Aditi's inquiry, asking and clarifying that how exactly can I go ahead with this strictly following your instructions. And being pleased by the vows of the execution of Aditi, the Supreme Lord eventually appears before Aditi. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he tells to Aditi that I know your problem. Don't think that, you know, I'm unaware of everything. I actually know your problem. And therefore, I'll personally help by becoming your son. And that is how the Supreme Lord, he appears in this four-handed form first. But then eventually he he transforms himself as a Vamana, as a in a dwarf incarnation. And then when the Lord appears as Lord Vamanadev, there are all these demigods and all the celestial beings who come there, and there is a standard operating procedure. Whenever there is, you know, Krishna used to kill some demon, or whenever any incarnation of the Supreme Lord appears, there are these standard procedures in the heavenly kingdom. Whenever the Lord appears, the demigods and all the heavenly people, they'll come there, and what will they do? They will shower flowers. They will shower flowers, they will have all these nice music and kettle drums and, you know, everything. And they will also offer beautiful prayers. And the demigods, they also give different types of gifts to the to this incarnation of the Supreme Lord as Sri Vamanadeva. And then, after being blessed and, you know, felicitated by all these demigods, Lord Vamana, he gets on business. And he walks to the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is now engaged in doing the Ashwamedha sacrifice, which is even bigger than the Vishwajita Yajna. And he's doing this 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that he will never ever be defeated by anyone. And here is Lord Vamanadev. He approaches this Bali Maharaj in his sacrificial arena. And the appearance of Vamanadev is described that how he is in the form of a Brahmana boy wearing a belt of straw, a sacred thread, an upper garment of deer skin and matted locks of hair. His brilliant effulgence diminishes the brilliance of all the priests and their disciples. When Lord Vamana, he walks into the sacrificial arena, he is so brilliant that all the other Brahmanas and the priests and everyone, they are feeling as if a thousand suns are arising in the eastern horizon. That is how the Brahmanas in that sacrificial arena, they feel. And what is the response of Bali Maharaj? Bali Maharaj is not envious. We saw previously that how when Indra saw Bali coming towards his kingdom Amravati, Bali Maharaj was shining with so much of grandeur. He was appearing so opulent, and he was having so much of, you know, aura behind his head. But when Bali Maharaj sees Vamanadev much more effulgent, he is not envious. He is not feeling, you know, ye kon aa gaya yahan pe? Who is this that, you know, he has come here? I am, you know, to challenge my powers. No. Bali Maharaj is actually very grateful for the arrival of this personality, who definitely appeared great because of his brilliant effulgent. Now, this is again very surprising, because up until now, Vamandev has not done anything for Bali Maharaj. Typically, we become grateful, we become, you know, obliged to someone when someone actually does something for us, right? So Vamanadev has just come here But Bali Maharaj is so happy and so grateful just by the presence of Vamanadev. So there are these three symptoms of gratitude that Bali Maharaj is demonstrating. First of all, he is feeling jubilant. He is not feeling envious. Even when Vamandev's tejas superseded that of his. And he mentions, Yajmanah Pramuditah. Pramuditah. The opulence of the effulgence of Vamanadev was much more greater than the opulence of the Yajman, Bali Maharaj, who was presiding the Ashwamedha Yajna. And then Bali Maharaj is feeling blessed. Avanijyarchayam Asha. Bali Maharaj, he washes and worships the feet of the Lord. And not just he is feeling blessed, he says, Tadpada saucham janakalma shapaham sadharma vinmurdhin adadhat sumangalam yad deva devo girishas chandra maulir dadhar murdhna parayach bhaktya. He is feeling as if he is following in the footsteps of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, one of the names of Lord Shiva is Chandra Mauli. He is carrying moon on his head. But even after carrying the moon on his head, when Lord Shiva sees that there is this Ganges that is emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord, in spite of being Chandra Mauli, he prefers to carry Ganga on his head. And that is why he is also known as Gangadhar. And Bali Maharaj is feeling, when he takes this charnamrita of the foot wash of Vamanadev, he is feeling blessed just like Lord Shiva. And there is another beautiful pastime, that how when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Gundicha Marjan pastime, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is cleaning the Gundicha temple, and first of all the dirt is cleansed very minutely, and then all the devotees get water, and the water is being splashed on the walls, on the ceilings and everywhere. And it is being cleansed in a very detailed manner. And amidst all this cleaning, there is one devotee who takes a pot of water, pours on the feet of Lord Chaitanya, takes the Charanamrita and drinks it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looks at this devotee and he says, the Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually very pleased within his heart. But to set a proper example for others, he actually chastises that devotee. And he calls Swarup Damodar Goswami and he mentions that, look at this Vaishnava. No. Teach him the proper etiquette. But at the same time, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions that although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles. So just like, you know, here Bali Maharaj is also feeling very much blessed. And not just that, not just feeling, he also expresses his gratitude, asking, how do I serve you? You have appeared here, you have blessed me with your Charanamrita. How, what can I do for you? Brahman, kim karavamate? Please tell me something that I can do for you. And because of this gratitude, it is mentioned, because Bali Maharaj is grateful for these things, eventually this little gratitude fetches much more for Bali Maharaj. Which is the third lesson I wanted to emphasize, that how when one is grateful for the little mercy that one receives in one's life, that gratitude actually fetches us much more mercy of the Supreme Lord. So here Bali Maharaj doesn't even know that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is just seeing him as a very powerful Brahmana, you know, boy who is like in the Swamana Roop. And he is so pleased with this Brahmana who has come in his Yagyashala. He doesn't know that he is the Supreme Lord. But very soon he will get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And similarly, when we look at ourselves, we also have received some bits of mercy, sometime or the other, some association, some prasad, some experience, some blessings. Each of us have received our own bits and pieces of mercy in the association of devotees. But the nature of material conditioning is that we very easily forget what we receive. Forgetfulness is the de facto standard in the material world. We forget names, especially of devotees. You meet some devotee and then, you know, exchange names. And once you walk off, I mean, it happens a lot with me at least. You know, and I figure out, you know, naam kya bataya tha, what was his name? I just forget. We forget names. We forget passwords. Right? How many of you forget your passwords? Please honestly raise your hands. And therefore you have another file in which you have written all your passwords. Right? And that is also password protected. Right? So, we forget names, we forget passwords, we forget, you know, what others have done for us. What the devotees, what the spiritual master and what has been done for us. That is, this bad memory is one of the casualties of Kali Yuga. Being in Kali Yuga, manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya, upadrutaha. This forgetfulness, this ingratitude is a conditioning. And therefore, gratitude in Sanskrit is known as kritagya. To be cognizant of what others have done for me. Kritagya. Gya means to remember, to be aware of what others have done for me. And this remembrance of, this remembrance and expression of kritagyata is what will fetch us more mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is mentioned that we may have a lot or a little, but gratitude means to be thankful for whatever we have been blessed with and not complaining what we don't have. A classic example is the Pandavas. The Pandavas were given this small tract of land which was known as Khandav Prastha. And because of being grateful for what they had been given, they transformed the Khandav Prastha into Indra Prastha. Whereas the Kauravas, led by Duryodhan, he had this huge kingdom of Hastinapur, but he was always envious of the small kingdom of Indra Prastha that was occupied by the Pandavas. And therefore, this attitude of gratitude demonstrated by the Pandavas eventually fetched them much more opulences, much more mercy of Krishna later on in their lives. And therefore, they say that there are people in this world who have gone through a lot, but many times they are grateful for what they have received in their own lives and not complaining, not cribbing for what they didn't, you know, achieve. A beautiful example here in this case is the example of Steve Jobs. Now, if for those of you who know the life of Steve Jobs, we just know him as the CEO and founder of Apple Inc. But then, you know, in his famous speech at the Stanford University, Steve Jobs, he mentioned that how he was sold by his own mother. The mother who gave birth to him actually sold him because she didn't want to, you know, have another child with her. She sold him and then he was kicked from the very same company that he had founded repeatedly, not just once. And then, and he admits that still he didn't give up. He was very grateful, and this gratitude he acknowledged in his speech at the Stanford University. I'll just read this one, two sentences that he says. He says, "It wasn't all romantic. I didn't have a dorm room, so I slept on the floor in friends' rooms. I returned Coke bottles for 5-cent deposits to buy food with. And I would walk the 7 miles across the town every Sunday night to get one good meal at the Hare Krishna Center. I loved it." And because of this gratitude, you know, It is said that how eventually, you know, he came up with, you know, all this big company and all of these opulences. Again, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a beautiful episode of Pratap Rudra Maharaj. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes to Jagannath Puri, Sarbam Bhattacharya, he mentions to Lord Chaitanya that how, you know, the king of Puri, Pratap Rudra Maharaj, actually wants to meet you. And the moment Lord Chaitanya hears about the king, he, you know, closes his ears and he says that how can I meet such a person? He is involved in all this, you know, business dealings and economy and everything. I can't meet such a vishayi. I can't meet such a person who is involved in all these affairs. And when Pratap Rudra Maharaj, he hears that, you know, he is a bit pained. But then over a period of time, one time, the son of Pratap Rudra Maharaj, he is dressed up as a Vaishnava and he approaches Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Lord Chaitanya sees the son of Pratap Rudra Maharaj, he is so happy. And he says, look at this young boy. He is just appearing as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna himself. And seeing this attire of the son, Lord Chaitanya, he actually embraces the son of Pratap Rudra Maharaj. And, you know, and when the son is like blessed with Lord Chaitanya's this exemplary way, he develops all the symptoms of love of Godhead and like he is like really beaming with all spiritual bliss. And when Pratap Rudra Maharaj, he hears about this blessing that has been bestowed on his son, Pratap Rudra Maharaj is very grateful. He is very grateful that, okay, mercy wasn't bestowed on me, but my son was a recipient of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And because of this gratitude, eventually after the Rath Yatra festival, when Lord Chaitanya is taking rest in the that garden, what is that garden? Jagannath Vallabh Garden. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking rest in that Jagannath Vallabh Garden, devotees, they encourage Pratap Rudra Maharaj. And Pratap Rudra Maharaj goes and he serves Lord Chaitanya and sings the Gopi Geet. And that is when he also receives the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So therefore, if one is grateful for the small pieces of mercy that one receives in his life, one could be rest assured that there is a lot that is in store for us. And we have heard so many times that when the Lord wants to give, he has unlimited hands. And with those unlimited hands, he could give unlimited blessings. But we don't have so much to hold on to. And when the Lord wants to take, how much can we protect? So that is how here Bali Maharaj is very grateful and eager to serve as per his capacity. And he mentions that whatever you want cows, you want gold, you want a furnished home, a palatable foods and drinks, the daughter of a Brahmana for your wife, prosperous villages, horses, elephants, chariots, or whatever you may like. Now mind you, Bali Maharaj is the emperor of the whole world. We may be the emperor of some company or some, you know, nice household, and we take so much pride, you know, ask whatever you want of me. Here is Bali Maharaj, he's opening the doors for Vamandev to ask for anything. And with this gratitude, definitely Vamandev is very pleased and he praises the charitable attitude of Bali Maharaj. And he glorifies the dynasty, that you are coming from a dynasty of Prahlad. You are coming from the dynasty of the great charitable king Virochan. And therefore it is not surprising that you are demonstrating this, you know, degree of charitable attitude. But then, I just want to ask for 3 steps of land. And don't want more than required. Indirectly, Vamandev is indirectly telling to Bali Maharaj that you are occupying much more land than what you actually need. I just need 3 pieces of land, 3 steps of land. That is enough for me. And the same is enough for you too. One time His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, in one of his classes, he was mentioning that the need of a devotee is actually very less. What do we need after all? We just need the association of devotees. We need a little prasad and some place to rest. Maharaj actually distills the needs of a devotee in these 3, you know, steps. Just what is needed? The association of devotees, some prasad for bodily maintenance and a place to rest. And this is what Vamanadev is also communicating to Bali Maharaj. That 3 steps of land are enough for me and the same is enough for you too. But then you have been occupying much more than what you actually need. But then Bali Maharaj, when he hears, he says that you speak words which will definitely be accepted by the learned and elderly personalities, Vriddha Sammata, but you are unaware of your own self-interest, Swartha. You may feel that 3 steps of land are enough for you now, but what about the future? And therefore you are speaking just like an ordinary child, Balishah Matihi. Your intelligence is just like a small boy. Your intelligence, you are demonstrating an intelligence equal to that of a small boy. And therefore, I can give you an entire dvipa, an entire island. And there, Srila Prabhupada clarifies that how the whole universe is actually compared to an ocean. And all of these planets, they are compared to islands in the ocean. That is how Bali Maharaj is wanting to give a whole planet to Vamanadev. But Vamanadev, he then gives the secret to satisfaction. And Vamanadev mentions that even the entirety of whatever one may, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the 3 worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. Which brings us to the 4th lesson for today, that nothing can satisfy one who is not self-controlled. And Vamanadev gives his reasons that a learned person takes only as much as he needs not to be entangled in sin. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord mentions, Krishna bhuliya jiva bhog vancha kare, nikata sthita tare maya jhapatiya dhare. That the moment a living entity forgets Krishna, Krishna bhuliya jiva bhog vancha kare, he desires sense gratification. The material energy of the Lord, it captures the living entity. And there are 2 ways in the by which the material energy captures. One is the avaranatmika shakti. The material energy actually puts the living into illusion, forgetting that the supreme is actually the proprietor. The living being feels that he is this body, and his true happiness lies in the satisfaction of this body. So that is the avaranatmika shakti. And then the material energy covers him. First is the covering, avaranam. Then is prakshepatmika shakti. All of us are very much tuned into this prakshepan business. Last few days we have been hearing, prakshepan of the Chandrayaan, and so much of it is in news. But the living entities has also, done, has we have also been in this prakshepan thing. Prakshepatmika shakti, wherein the living entity launches himself into the material field of activities with a lot of vigor, thinking that my happiness is in the satisfaction of the senses, and therefore let me now jump into accumulating more and more and gathering more and more sense objects for 2 things. What will make the living entity happy? 2 things. Show off and sense gratification. These are the qualities of a conditioned living being. That a conditioned living being wants to prove itself. Look at how great I am. Just by considering myself great, I won't be so happy unless others also sign my petition that yes, you are actually great, you have so much. Right? So that is how Maya's agents, they are also ready with the facilities in the form of these advertisements. Get this, and this will make you great. If you just get this, if you just have this house, if you just have this watch, if you just have this shoe, if you just have this clothes, this, all these propositions of the material energy we see all around. But the problem is that we have mistaken the fire extinguisher, and we are using the fire extinguisher to be like the, we have mistaken the fire extinguisher to be the fuel. What we are thinking will extinguish my desire, my hankering, is actually the fuel. Just imagine there is a fire and there is a fire extinguisher right there at the corner. But unfortunately, that bottle, that red bottle that we see up there, is not filled with the actual material that will you know, put off the fire, but is actually filled with fuel. Usme petrol bhara hai. Right? To usko jab ye aag pe dalenge, kya hone wala hai? What will be the result? The fire will, you know, come up all the more. And therefore, Sri Rupa Goswami in his choicest verses, the nectar of instructions that he says, he mentions that how prayasa, over-endeavoring, over-accumulation is a hindrance on the path of devotional service. One of the factors that impede one's progress in Krishna consciousness. Atyahara prayasascha, prajalpo niyamagraha, janasangascha lolyamcha, shadbhir bhakti vinashyati. And we have heard all these verses. We have heard all these classes and Bhakti Shastri. How many of you are Bhakti Shastri? Please raise your hands. Kitne logon ne Bhakti Shastri kiya hai? NOI padha hai? Ye vars suna hai kabhi? Right? Malum hai, sab suna hai. But then, at the back of the mind, when we walk out of this room, we still have our list of needs. The list of our needs keeps on increasing, is ever increasing. And we think, yes, I will surrender, don't worry. Only when this box gets ticked, right? Only when I have this, only when I have that. And the mind keeps, you know, convincing us that some more endeavor, please. Some more work, please. All of us have heard the story of that carrot. How the, you know, this rod is tied at the head of the donkey and there is a carrot that is dangling and the donkey keeps taking a step, thinking that just by one more step, I'll get this. So how do we rectify this situation? We hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam, one should not over-endeavor, one should not over-accumulate, one should not, you know, work so hard to get all these things. But on the other hand, the real fact of matter, the reality is that it doesn't seem enough. Whatever we have doesn't seem enough. And therefore, there is that impetus to work more, get more, you know, and accumulate more. How do we reconcile? And this is where Lord Vamanadev, he helps us out. And he says, Yad Ichchaya Upapannena Santushto Vartate Sukham Na Santushta Tribhir Lokair Ajitatma Upasaditah. One should be satisfied with whatever one achieves by his previous destiny. For discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the three worlds. And Srila Prabhupada, he writes that according to Brahminical culture, one should be content with whatever he obtains without, now, please listen carefully. This is where the reconciliation lies. Prabhupada clarifies. He says, without special endeavor, and something that should not hinder one's spiritual cultivation. If by normal course of endeavors, without putting in extraordinary efforts, with honest endeavor, not escapism, Prabhupada gives these two understandings. He mentions that if one's endeavor is honest and not escapist, and second, it is not hampering one's spiritual progress, that is the limit to which one should be working. For getting things, for satisfying his own needs, drawing that demand, that line between one's needs and one's greed, one's needs and one wants. And Prahlad Maharaj, he also mentions that happiness perceived with respect to sense objects is automatically obtained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress. This is from the 7th canto. Prahlad Maharaj is mentioning that just like distress comes in our life without any extraneous endeavor, so similarly, happiness is also come without any extraordinary endeavor. And therefore, when we focus in that manner, by improving what we are and what we have, inside as well as outside, that is when we restrain prayasa. So there is this beautiful series of verses where Vamandev, he draws the line between satisfaction and greed. And Bali Maharaj is impressed with the reasoning of Bali Maharaj is impressed with the reasoning of Vamanadev, and he complies, okay, take whatever you want. But there is now the intervention of the guru of Bali Maharaj, Shukracharya, who comes and he mentions that don't give anything. Stop, pause, freeze. Enough is enough. Whatever you have said is said. Now hear what I have to say. This little small dwarf, this Vamana that you are seeing, is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Vishnu, he is your enemy. And he will rob everything if you give him 3 steps of land. Now, it's very amazing that how Shukracharya, he also is able to see what is going to happen in the future. And he is saying as it is to Bali Maharaj, that if you give him 3 steps of land, he will cover the entire universe with his 2 steps and he will rob you of everything, you know, with this promise. And when Bali Maharaj receives this warning from Shukracharya, Bhagavata mentions that Bali Maharaj is silent. Bali Maharaj, he contemplates for some time and then he gives his verdict. Now why is Bali Maharaj silent? Because he has this decision to make. He has this choice before him, whether to obey or disobey the order of his spiritual master, whether to abide by or reject the order of his spiritual master. And how is Bali Maharaj able to take the right decision? How is Bali Maharaj able to come to the right conclusion? Because of the values that he has within him. And therefore, that is the last lesson for us today, that how strong values strongly help us in making right decisions. So there are these factors that influence the decision of Bali Maharaj. What are these factors based on which Bali Maharaj comes to this, you know, his conclusion? The first factor is the promise. He mentions that I am coming in the dynasty of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is known for his promise. Prahlad Maharaj is known for his words that he has given. And therefore, as the grandson of Prahlad, how can I unfulfill the promise that I have made? The next thing he mentions, that there is nothing more sinful in this world than being untrue to one's own words. Now in Kali Yuga, going back on one's word is, you know, is the norm of the day. You speak something and then the next moment the situation is not favorable. Nee, main kaha bola? Main kabhi nahi bola. No. simple way. So easy. We see it, we do it. And that is one of the reasons it is, sometimes it becomes difficult for us to take the right decisions. We become confused because we don't have these values strongly embedded within our hearts. And therefore, here is Bali Maharaj, he is being truthful to his words. No matter whatever may happen, I will live by these values. And then he says that I am not afraid of hell. I am not afraid of poverty. I am not afraid of fall down or death. But what am I afraid of? I am afraid of cheating a Brahmana. Now this is again a factor that Bali Maharaj considers. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he mentions that Srila, up until now, Bali Maharaj has not been offering any obeisances, any respects, any prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The SOPs, the standard operating procedures we saw, the demigods that they do. Bali Maharaj has known now. Shukracharya has told, he is the Supreme Lord. But then, Bali Maharaj also, he balances things so nicely, and it is mentioned that not to give sorrow to Shukracharya and the other demons that are with him, just to not displease them, Bali Maharaj has up until not offered his obeisances or respects or prayers to the Supreme Lord. And therefore, he just addresses the Lord as a Brahmana, as if to just contain his bhava, his feelings for the Supreme Personality, like that. So that is the third thing. He's afraid to cheat a Brahmana. And then the Acharyas mentioned that, okay, with these three reasons, what Bali is mentioning, Shukracharya might be thinking, ki, is there any instance in history like this? And Bali Maharaj is proactive. Bali Maharaj proactively, he speaks that even in the past, there have been great personalities like Dadichi Muni, like King, like Shibi Maharaj, who did not hesitate to even give up their lives for living to their promises. And therefore, why should I be... So great personalities like Dadichi and Shibi were willing to sacrifice their life for welfare of others. Why not give up this insignificant land that is there? And then he mentions that one's good deeds fetch one's reputation. Because of one's good deeds, one is remembered in this world even after one is gone. And therefore, the Shastras recommend that how good deeds should be performed by everyone so that one is remembered even after death. And he also mentions that it is more difficult to give up wealth than to give up one's body. Giving up one's body might be easier. This is Bali Maharaj speaking. This is Bali Maharaj speaking that giving up one's wealth is more difficult than giving up one's body. And therefore, let me practice this detachment. Let me offer whatever I have for the pleasure of this Brahmana. And then finally, he has this spiritual knowledge based on which he arrives at this decision. And he contemplates that my guru is telling that he is Vishnu. On one hand, he is saying that he is Vishnu. On the other hand, he is saying, don't surrender to Vishnu. And therefore, because of these contradictory instructions, he has lost his caliber. He has lost his position of being a bona fide spiritual master. And therefore, he is fit to be rejected. And that is how Bali Maharaj makes the right decision of, you know, giving, allowing Vamanadeva to occupy the three steps of land. So yes, even for us, making the right decisions could be tricky at times. But then, what helps us actually is the values that we live by. Because the values that we live by deep within our hearts is what manifests externally in our attitudes, in our decision making, in our priorities, in our dealings with others. And therefore, it is said that in the Satyuga, the divine and demoniac used to stay at different planets, the Deva and Asur, and therefore there used to have this Devasura Sangram, the fight between the demons and the demigods. But in the Treta Yuga, the demons and the divine were on the same planet, Ram and Ravan. In the Dwapar Yuga, the divine and the demoniac were in the same family, the Pandavas and the Kauravas. And in Kali Yuga, the divine and the demoniac are within the same person. And if each of us also know how even within us, we have these two natures. The divine nature which manifests in the temple when we come, you know, in devotional ways and means, devotional language. And then there is the other side also which manifests in different time, place and circumstances like that. And therefore, you know, one should understand that such values actually provide a stable foundation on which one can actually build the skyscraper of one's devotion, of one's bhakti. If these, you know, these may appear to be so-called non-devotional values, but actually these values provide a good foundation, a good standing on which one can actually become a good devotee. Otherwise, we may externally be a good devotee and internally be devoid of even living by these sane values, so to say. And here we see the example of Bali Maharaj. Not only is he a good devotee, he has all these values by which he is living by. And because of these values, he is being able to arrive at this decision. And that is how Bali Maharaj, he turns to Vamandev, asks him to take the three steps of land. But... And Shukracharya, he gets offended, and as per the prediction of Brihaspati to Indra, Shukracharya curses Bali Maharaj that because you are neglecting my advice, very soon I curse you that you will lose all your opulences right away. But Bali Maharaj is not fearful because he knew that he was truthful. And before everyone's eyes, Vamandev begins to expand himself into the universal form. And we know the rest is history. In his first step, he covers the entire upper planetary systems, all the planets in the upper planetary system. With his second step, he reaches the Patala Loka, and then, you know, moving all the way, crossing all this Janaloka, Maharloka, Tapaloka, and then, you know, his toe pierces the covering of the universe, and then that is where the water from the causal ocean, you know, touches his lotus feet and comes into this universe in the form of the holy Ganges. And when, and then Bali Maharaj, and then Vamanadev, he asks, okay, two steps done, where to keep the third step? And there is Garuda, the personal carrier of the Supreme Lord. He finds that now Bali Maharaj has run out of space. How many of us run out of space on our hard disks, on our pen drives? No. Here Bali Maharaj has run out of his space, you know, in his kingdom, in his supremacy. And it is not 16 GB, 32 GB or 1 TB space. This is the entire universe. And Garuda then captures Bali Maharaj, finding him incapable to fulfill his vows. But Bali Maharaj, he is not feeling humiliated. He is not feeling defeated. He is feeling very happy. And he very happily says that, now I have only my life left. I may have given all my property unto you, but I still have this ego, this identity of being a great person with me. And therefore, please put your third foot upon my head. And Bali Maharaj is very happy, thinking that the demigods, they think that the Supreme Lord is very merciful on them. But all you demigods, you know, focus your cameras here now. Look how now the Supreme Personality of Godhead is bestowing his blessings on my head. And that is how Vamanadev is pleased by the unconditional and unmotivated surrender of Bali Maharaj, and who gave everything to the Supreme Lord. And Bali Maharaj goes to become the epitome of Atma Nivedanam, surrendering everything for the pleasure of the Supreme. But not just that, Bali Maharaj being pleased with Vamanadev being pleased with Bali, he gives Sutala planet for him to rule and become his doorkeeper. So what was apparently a defeat for Bali Maharaj actually fetched him the greatest of benedictions. Because Sutala planet, it is mentioned, was more opulent than any heavenly kingdom. And not just that, not just the ownership of Sutala Loka, but also Vamanadev, he bestows his mercy on Bali by giving him deep affection for his own service to him. So that is how Bali, even though he may apparently, you know, appear to be to have been defeated, but then, you know, ultimately he emerges out to be victorious. And therefore, by means of this particular pastime, we understand that victory or achievement is not just in terms of one's, you know, accomplishments that are there. True victory or true accomplishment is one is when one is actually able to attract the attention of the Lord. And by dint of one's devotion, one is able to invite that mercy of the Lord. And when the Lord becomes, you know, pleased by the services of his devotee, when the Lord is obliged for the services of, you know, his devotee, that is when the Lord is happy. And that is how, even though apparently the devotee might be appearing to be losing, but in that defeat lies his ultimate victory. So just to summarize what all we discussed today, the first thing we saw, that how the blessings of great souls is the secret to success in Krishna consciousness. Connecting to Krishna is often the key to even many material problems, and gratitude for little mercy will fetch us more of the Lord's mercy. Nothing can satisfy one who is not self-controlled, and strong values strongly help us make the right decisions. So with those words, I'd like to thank all of you once again for being here this afternoon and hearing this beautiful pastime of the Supreme Lord. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Do we have any questions? Do we have time for questions? It's already 2:45. Okay. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नित्य नामिने